2nd of August. While the return of school may have played a role in the rise, it is unlikely to be the only factor as they reopened so recently. Some scientists have warned that a likely increase in COVID-19 cases in autumn and winter, coupled with other viruses, could require the return of mitigation measures such as wearing face masks.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be having a series of discussions regarding the topic of women of Ashura. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister. We are in the month of Muharram. Sister Zainab and I were having a great discussion about the personalities, the valuable lessons that we can learn from, especially because we are talking in the program of the Muslim Lady. We are especially zooming on the ladies, valuable lessons that we can learn from these. We were actually trying to bisect and analyze and try to get what we can learn from them in our life, in our everyday lives. Mm. We mentioned so many facts about Sayyidah Zainab Salamullah Alayha. We mentioned many paragraphs from the sermon that she delivered in the court of Yazid in the city of Sham. We talked about three distinguished qualities that she had, which was patience, being a servant of God, and being kind and feminine at the same time, and being brave, actually four qualities. And then in the midst of our talks, we mentioned other ladies like Dilham, Tawa, Maria. Here in this program, inshallah, Sister Zainab and I will be mentioning some other qualities of this heavenly ladies of Ashura. and what they have for us to offer.
It's been a very interesting series of discussions, I find, and I hope that our listeners out there could find at least one point they could relate to, you know, one point they could connect with and hold on to and carry out in their lives. Because at the end of the day, perhaps that was the whole point of Imam Hussein's mission, you know, to capture the hearts with the blood that he had to shed and the sacrifices he had to make, and to be able to create a revolution, whether on a personal or a collective level in humanity. I've seen a lot of people that spent their many years of their lives in utter ignorance and rebellion against their Lord, but then something within them clicked in regard with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, and they found guidance. And that hadith that says, in al-Hussein, Misbah al-Huda wa Safinat al-Najat, he is the light of guidance, the beacon of guidance, and the ark of salvation. Asra wa awsa, he's the fastest and the vastest.
Wow, subhanAllah, so beautiful.
It is beautiful, right? Because it the thing about Imam al-Hussein's movement, it's that it captures every aspect of humanness. Right, there's the spiritual, there's the emotional, the sentimental, the sadness, the joy, the romance, the valor,
individual,
the
social,
yeah, exactly,
collective,
the
family,
social, political, all, it's all there.
Life, afterlife.
Exactly, it's so comprehensive. It's right. Such a perfect package.
That's why they say the school of Hussein.
Exactly.
Right.
And it set in motion such a huge legacy. Yeah.
Right. Zainab, one of the personalities or feminine figures or ladies that I really treasure and I really like to honor, which was not directly involved in the day of Ashura but had her role to play, was Umm Salama. Umm Salama was one of the wives of the noble prophet. After the demise of Lady Khadija, when Lady Fatima was still very young, the noble prophet entrusted her raising to Umm Salama, and she was like a mother to Fatima. And Umm Salama says that actually everybody thinks that I was a teacher to Fatima, but in fact Fatima was a teacher to me. It's so beautiful.
It is.
And the way you see Umm Salama protecting and supporting not only Fatima as a personality, but as the path of Fatima, and also the path of wilaya or leadership, right? It's so superb and so beautiful. This is what the gem in Umm Salama's personality that highlights her so much, is this defending the wilaya. You know, after they usurped her right to Fadak, Lady Fatima had a sermon, and she tried to explain to them and tried to rebuke them for the ugly act that they had done. And Umm Salama was by her side, and the caliphs of her time deprived her of her livelihood for 1 year because she supported Fatima. This is, you know, she was an old woman at that time, you know, but she preferred to stay by justice and by the right, by the truth, than just, you know, having the little gain of this worldly life, and then to satisfy her immediate needs, temporary material needs, and then, you know,
forget
about the hereafter. And the other thing is that she was a narrator of hadith, and it's fabulous to know that she has narrated 387 hadith from the Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Prophet's daughter Fatima sallallahu alayhi, and also Abu Salama, her husband. And one of those hadith that she narrated from the Holy Prophet is that there's a beautiful hadith that says the imams or the leaders after me, the Prophet says, are 12, the same as the number of the sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. 9 of them are from the offspring of Hussein, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given my knowledge to them. So the narrator of this hadith has been Umm Salama. And it's interesting that she was actually one of the ladies, very wise ladies, that the Holy Prophet sometimes shared his thoughts, and you know, she was like a counselor to the Noble Prophet. He trusted her wisdom,
consoled in her.
Yeah, and her trust in her was to the extent that the Noble Prophet had told Umm Salama about the event of Ashura prior to its occurrence, and while he was still alive. And you know the story where she was given the sand of Karbala, and the Prophet told him that when this turns red, it means that my grandson Hussein has been martyred, and she actually witnessed this. And the moment she was kilometers away from the land of Karbala in Medina, but when it turned red, she immediately knew that Hussein was martyred. Mm. And she actually asked the Prophet because she loved the children of Fatima so much that, of course, she didn't want anything bad to happen to them. And when the Holy Prophet told her of Ashura and the story, she said, well, can't you do a prayer that Hussein would not get martyred,
right, to prevent this?
Yeah. And then the Prophet said that, I actually received a revelation that this event, through the event of Ashura, he will receive such a rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it is not comparable with anybody else, and that he, Hussein, will intercede for all his followers, and Mahdi is among his offspring. Mm-hmm. So he consoled her. Mm-hmm. I swear to Allah that his followers will be felicitous on the day of resurrection. And she dies at the age of 84, and you can see that she was a lady who always stood by the leader of her time, the true leader. When it was the Prophet, it was the Prophet. After that, when it was Ali alayhi salam, Ali. When it was Hassan, it was Hassan. When it was Hussein, it was Hussein.
We're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere. Studio with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're discussing Ashura'i women and Ashura in women.
One of the qualities of ladies of Ashura is that they are wise people with open eyes, and they know exactly what's going on around them.
What we call basira.
Exactly. Insight, right? So she had that insight, and she was brave enough to support it, although a lot of the times it turned to on her back, and she was deprived of her material rights. So I see her as one of the ladies of Ashura.
Exactly. Very steadfast too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just something that she picked up during the final years of her senior life. It's not something that she did while she was young and, you know, lively and spry. It was a life commitment for her that she carried out. After Prophet's demise, when she protected and defended Sayyidah Fatima, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hassanin alayhi salam, since their childhood till their martyrdom, it was just...
Constant on the path of wilayah.
Exactly. Her entire life is a journey in this path. And we could hope, pray to be so lucky, you know, so blessed to live this sort of lifestyle, to be able to commit and devote ourselves so much to wilaya and to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Consistency,
yeah. Insight are other qualities of ladies of Ashura.
Exactly.
Whatever time it may be, even in our time. To know exactly the Yazid of our time.
It's very, very important. And I think one of the methods of obtaining that consistency in our lives regarding anything, especially the Ahlul Bayt in our religion, is to strive to collect more knowledge about it, you know? Because if we don't have knowledge and we haven't fortified our iman through knowledge, through ma'rifah, we will constantly move
back and forth.
Yeah, exactly. We will constantly fluctuate, and like a little sapling that moves in the wind, you know, we're not sturdy enough. But once we are strengthened with a proper amount of knowledge, our iman is strengthened, then we can have that consistency and that steadfastness in our lives.
Exactly. And this is exactly what you can find in Surah An'am, verse number 122. Ashura's lessons and teachings were nothing different from the teachings of the Quran.
Definitely.
Right? And in Surah An'am, verse number 122, you read, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ لَهُ نُورًا تَمْشِي بِهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, which means that is he who was lifeless, means who had no iman, then we gave him life, we gave him the iman, and provided him with a light by which he walks among the people. So this means that if you are after this material life, if the world is your aim, your goal, your final destination, then it's like you're a dead walking zombie.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah, it's like you have no faith, you have no soul, you have no life.
Exactly.
And if you have faith, you have life, not only life, but a nuran, tamshi bihi, right? A nur that you can walk with. And this nur is this guidance, this extra help that comes to you when you are uncertain which path to go, right?
Exactly.
So it's being, you know, piety is not so difficult. It's just servitude. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just like my case today, you know, this everyday things. If you know, praying, and it's prime time, praying with the presence of heart, putting the right importance and the right priority to prayers. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what helps you to distinguish between wickedness
and wrong.
Deficiency.
Exactly. Thank you so very much, Sister Lazia, and thank you to our listeners for being with us on this episode of Muslim Lady. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free. I wish that somehow you'd tell me out of love that on that day I'll be okay.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us contemplate on a wise aphorism from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, the Holy Prophet's fourth infallible heir. Fear God and know that you will inevitably return to Him. When everyone will see his good and bad deeds right before his or her very eyes, he or she will wish for the longest period of time to separate himself or herself from bad deeds.
Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
An architectural firm in Singapore has come up with a unique idea to deal with the country's constant warm temperatures. A hotel on the island's busy business district has been covered with more than 20 species of plants to keep the place cooler. A layer of vegetation blankets the facade of the Red Tower, which is growing thicker with the passage of time. The plants reduce the ambient temperature by a combination of water evaporation and releasing cooler vapor. The architect says the tower is 10 to 20 degrees Celsius cooler than nearby buildings. The green facades also reduce harmful carbon emissions, which account for over 20% in the sprawling city. The world's highest expressway has opened to traffic in China's Tibet Autonomous Region. It's nearly 300 kilometers long and has an average elevation of 4,500 meters. It connects the cities of Nanchu and Lhasa, shortening the travel time from 6 to 3 hours. The road passes through many picturesque areas such as snowy mountains, grasslands and wetlands. The expressway is also environmentally friendly. Special passages have also been devised for animals to get from one side of the freeway to the other.
The youngest panda at the U.S.'s Smithsonian Zoo, National Zoo that is, has turned one. Baby panda Xiao Qiji celebrates the milestone by eating a specially made fruitsicle cake with his mother, Mei Xiang, in Washington, D.C. Both pandas dug into their icy cake, an ideal treat in the hot and humid summers of the U.S. capital. Xiao has captured hearts and had many first-time experiences. Some of them include sliding and tumbling around in snow and recognizing his name, which translates to little miracle in English. He was born during the pandemic, and given the age of his mother, we didn't think she'd have another cub. And the fact that we, not just that we had this miracle, but he has just been, he's given people moments of pure joy and pure happiness. Xiao Qiji is the fourth surviving cub of Mei Xiang. Its older siblings now live in China under an agreement with the United States.
Pandas have been reclassified from endangered to vulnerable thanks to reforestation to expand habitats in which the species can survive. There are an estimated 1,800 giant pandas in the wild.
The annual butter sculpture has been unveiled at the New York State Fair to the delight of eager spectators. The artwork was sponsored for the 53rd year by the American Dairy Association. It was carved out of 400 kilograms of butter and took 10 days to build. The sculpture is dedicated to the children who will be going back to their normal lives after the coronavirus pandemic is over. Once the fair ends, all of the butter will be broken down and turned into renewable energy. Switzerland is constructing its biggest alpine solar plant in an effort to secure renewable energy throughout the year. The 2.2 megawatt plant is expected to be completed by the end of 2021. The Mutzi site will include nearly 5,000 solar modules and produce around 3.3 million kilowatt hours of electricity. It will have the option of delivering half of its production during the winter when temperatures drop to sub-zero levels in Switzerland. The developers say the project makes more environmental than fiscal sense. Currently, the country gets less than 4% of its electricity from solar power. An eatery in Japan is giving disabled people a new lease on life by including them in its workforce. Dawn Cafe uses robotic staff controlled remotely by people who are handicapped. Around 50 people with mental and physical disabilities help run the cafe. The pilots come from all over Japan as well as overseas. The venue was established with support from major companies and crowdfunding. It has become more than just a place to eat for its customers.
Customers here are not exactly coming to this location just to meet the Orihime robots. They come here because of the people behind Orihime, and they will come back to see them again.
For Kentaro, Dawn Cafe has a very personal touch. In his childhood, he was left unable to go to school due to a period of bad health. Now he aspires to come up with ways to further the inclusion of disabled people in society. Crowds of visitors and conservationists have been delighted by the birth of a rare orangutan in the Spanish town of Fuengirola. The new residents of the safari park made its first public appearance 2 weeks after its birth. The baby, yet to be named, is the only one to be born in a European zoo over the past 12 months. The park has launched a program to conserve Borneo orangutans that are considered as a critically endangered species. Their population has declined by more than 50% over the past century. Dozens of baby turtles have made their way to the sea after an unexpected overnight hatch in Italy. Italian volunteers were surprised by track marks of the hatchlings from an unknown nest in Sicily. Some of the eggs hatched in the morning. An environmental group following the turtles' movement said that 74 hatchlings made it to the sea while 5 didn't. The reptiles are an endangered species of oceanic turtle that also live in the Mediterranean Sea. Their population has declined in recent years due to hunting, loss of beach nesting sites, over-harvesting of their eggs, and being caught in fishing gear.
A Slovenian enthusiast has discovered a new cave in the Alpine country, which is staggering visitors by its awe-inspiring looks. Ludwig Husu, a 63-year-old cave explorer, has come across a cavern that runs 60 meters deep in the ground. It's located in the country's karst region, an area of land made up of limestone. Some 14,000 caves are buried under the green forest of Slovenia, hiding away breathtaking stalactite and stalagmite formations. The limestone region is so pristine and uncharted that the European Space Agency has used the caves to train astronauts.
Yeah, astronauts.
Astronauts also know that the karst world is exceptional, special in a similar way to how a space environment can be. It is an unknown environment where you do not know what to expect at your next step. They have been here to train for precisely that, how to help yourself in a dark area where you're not sure what's going on and everything is new. That's very good training for space, and they have been very pleased to be able to prepare for something they might find in space.
Over 150 species, some looking like alien creatures, have been discovered inside the cave systems. They include an ancient aquatic salamander called the little dragon that can live up to 100 years. The animal was previously considered living proof that dragons had once existed. Some cave systems in Slovenia stretch for tens of kilometers. They are so winding and deep that scientists say large parts of them remain undiscovered despite exploration efforts dating back hundreds of years.
The Light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
As the U.S. is experiencing its worst heat wave, Boston zookeepers are working extra hard to keep the animals cool to avoid overheating. Some get frozen treats, and some, like the yak, get a water hosing several times a day when the temperatures rise. The hardest part is cooling down animals belonging to cold climates, like the reindeer. Since reindeer don't like water, the hosing down is a big no. Instead, the poor animals sit in front of a desk fan all day to stay away from the heat. The birds have it a little easier as they spend most of their time in air-conditioned dens.
In Indonesia, a group of university lecturers have come up with an idea of building a robot to help people during the coronavirus pandemic. The robot is assembled from electric household items like pots and pans and an old television monitor. It was named Delta after the new coronavirus variant ripped through Indonesia. The robot was initially built to entertain residents of a village in the country's East Java province. But the head of the robot-making project says he decided to shift its function into assisting people dealing with a deadly virus.
With this new Delta variant and the surging number of COVID-19 cases, I decided to turn the robot used for public services into one that sprays disinfectant and delivers food and necessities of residents who are self-isolating. I'm shifting the function to serve only the members of the community who are in need.
The interesting thing about a robot is that it greets people when delivering things to isolated residents. The developers of the robot say it has been built in a joint project with local people and is by no means a high-tech device.
We don't know much about woolly mammoths that went extinct some 10,000 years ago, except their scanned references in archaeology books. Now scientists have discovered that the giant mammals could walk incredibly long distance. Scientists from the University of Alaska have concluded that a male mammoth named Kik covered enough ground in its 28-year lifespan to encircle the Earth twice. To come up with the data, paleontologists analyzed one of Kik's well-preserved tusks. They say the animal lived with a herd through its infancy and youth and then went on to live alone. Scientists hope they will learn more about mammoths by analyzing further data from Kik's remains.
Three historic cave paintings found in Spain prove that Neanderthals were the first artists on Earth. A new study says red markings discovered in three caves near Malaga did not occur naturally. They were made by Neanderthals nearly 65,000 years ago. That's when modern humans did not inhabit the continent yet. The findings suggest that the pigments were applied at different times, sometimes more than 10,000 years apart. This shows that Neanderthals returned to the site over time to make symbolic markings.
I believe that this art made by the Neanderthals will be also found in other caves around the world. This time figurative art, which we have not paid attention to, may be precisely the oldest art in the world. So this place in Spain is one of the caves with the oldest art in the world.
Researchers say the pigments are yet another evidence that the intellectual capabilities of Neanderthals have been underestimated. Neanderthals went extinct about 40,000 years ago.
Egypt's forgotten art of Batik is undergoing a revival thanks to a designer who has been working hard to bring the ancient cleft decorating technique to life. Working tirelessly in a small workshop in Old Cairo, Samer Hassanian has enhanced the art of Batik over the years. Samer is one of the few designers in Egypt to use the traditional method to design on fabrics. The art consists of patterns created by applying melted wax onto cloth before dipping it in dye or painting over it with a brush. The fabric is put into boiling water in order to melt the wax. The ancient Egyptians used the batik fabric mostly to wrap the coffins and mummies. However, the difficulty of mastering the art caused its disappearance.
Batik has disappeared in Egypt because no one shared their skill. As a teacher, I find that it is very important to provide as much training as I can, because people realize how difficult it is when they start learning the techniques.
Samer has now skillful artists in her workshop who design colorful fabric using the technique. Samer says her goal is to produce unique designs that are particularly identified as to Egyptian and represent the country's rich cultural heritage.
Artists in an Egyptian village work hard to keep alive the ancient tradition of making papyrus paper despite the tourist downturn amid the coronavirus pandemic. The village of Karamus in northeastern Cairo is the largest hub of papyrus production in the country. Many of the residents of the village are involved in farming, processing, and decorating papyrus planted in 25 farms near the village. The pharaonic era tradition includes cutting strips from the plant, pressing them together, and drying them to form a sheet. The artists then decorate the papyrus to create beautiful products for tourists. However, the industry has been affected by the coronavirus pandemic, forcing the artists to use more creativity.
We are trying to think out of the box to keep this profession alive. We made products out of papyrus paper, like wallets, notebooks, drawing sketches, new products, so we can keep going.
The artists have also launched online stores to sell their new products. Papyrus producers say they have lost nearly 80% of their income in the last 2 years. However, they say they will never stop making papyrus and will make every effort to keep the ancient cultural tradition alive.
Truth and saying is the light of guidance and the shape of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes. In the name of Allah, the Almighty. Dear friends, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. Today, in this episode, we're going to speak about Imam al-Hussein, the Ark of Salvation. Accept our condolences on the month of Muharram. Inshallah, all of your deeds and gatherings for Imam Hussein has been accepted by Allah the Almighty.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahya Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Today, Wednesday, is the 16th of Muharram, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of Shahrivar, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 25th of August, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we listen to chapter Nu, verses 10 to 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا.
And said, ask forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, He is ever a perpetual forgiver.
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا.
He will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers.
وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا.
And give you increase in wealth and children, and provide for you gardens, and provide for you rivers.
مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا.
What is the matter with you that you do not attribute to Allah due grandeur?
وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا.
While He has created you in stages.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In these blessed verses, Prophet Noah, peace be upon him, proceeds with his impressive guidance, addressing his obdurate and disobedient people by encouraging them and bearing glad tidings to them, and promising them that if they desist from committing sins and disbelief, Allah the Almighty will grant them His bounties and graciousness. Addressing his Lord, he is saying that he asked them to ask the Lord for forgiveness of their sins. He not only absolves them of their sins, but upon turning toward Him, they will be granted bountiful rain from the heaven in abundance. Why is Imam al-Hussein the guiding light and the salvation ship? The need arises once again for divine surgery to separate between the opposites and to save light from darkness, truth from misguidance, and goodness from corruption. They need returns for the Ark of Salvation to transfer humanity and the believers from the seas of darkness to the shore of faith in the holy land of Karbala on the 10th of Muharram, 61 AH. And so it was named the Ark of Salvation. This Ark is present in every age where darkness increases and illness intensifies, where corruption and evil dominate, and the evil gains power. This is none other than the Ark of Salvation, which belongs to Imam al-Hussein. Sayyid Muhammad Ridwi.
Hussein comes from a family which has been described by the Prophet in a very beautiful way in a hadith which is known as Hadith al-Safina, one of the questions that you had there, where the Prophet says, "Ala inna mathala ahla bayti fikum," verily the example of my family among you, among the ummah, "mathalu safinati nuh," it is like the example of the ark of Nuh, "man rakibaha naja," whoever embarks on that safina, he will be saved from the azab of akhirah, "waman takhallafa anha halaka," and whoever abandons that ark of salvation, that person will perish. It's very interesting to see that the Prophet, you know, described his own Ahlul Bayt by looking at a very important example in the history of revealed religions. There are some miracles in the history of religions which are very prominent, and one of them is this whole issue of the story of the flood during the days of Nuh alayhi salam. And the main part in that, you know, as in Mojiza, was the issue of this Safina and the ark that Nuh alayhi salam built. And so when we talk about this concept of Safina, Hussein indeed is the ark of salvation for us. If we hold on to him, then we will be able to maintain our right path. Salawat Malik Barah.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein.
In this part, we learn about one of the effects of the movement of Imam al-Hussein. There were a number of uprisings after the movement of Ashura, both in that period of time and later years, against oppression and tyrant of governments. Among them, the uprising of the people of Medina was one of the most important ones. Those who started the movement were not thinking about victory, but they decided to stand against tyranny as a social duty. There were other Islamic and non-Islamic movements in later years which has the teachings of Karbala in mind. Moreover, there were many religious and non-religious uprisings throughout history which had set their goal to fight against oppression, but most of them had affected their own period of time and not further. Or they had taken advantage of the people's emotions and were later forgotten. On the contrary, the event of Ashura was not limited to a few years after its taking place. It affected societies from the first day until the present time.
Assalamu alaykum, ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين. وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
This is IRIB English Radio, today's special in the month of Muharram. The abundant water and tragedy of thirst. From the most ancient times, this tract of the lower Euphrates has been a garden. It was a cradle of early civilization, a meeting place between Sumer and Arab, and later between the Persians and Arabs. It is a rich, well-watered country. It is of particularly tragic significance that on the border of such a well-watered land should have been enacted the tragedy of the great and good men dying of thirst and slaughtered because they refused to bend the knee to forces of iniquity. The English poet's lines, "Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink," are brought home forcibly to you in this borderland between abundant water and desolate lands.
What is this force that defies the laws of physics? Who is this Hussein that can do this? Up until these days? Up until these days, some members of the camp of Imam al-Hussein were vociferously opposed to Imam al-Hussein and hated and despised Amir al-Mu'min, Zuhayr ibn al-Qamt, who was Uthmani. He followed Uthman and blamed Amir al-Mu'mineen for killing him. What is it about Imam al-Hussein that can take people like that or people like me and turn them into something much, into much better versions of themselves? This is about Abdul Malik. Ashhadu annaka nurullah. This is another ziyara of Imam al-Hussein. By the way, the ziyarat that are narrated in Kamil al-Ziyarat by Ibn Quluwayh and other books of hadith have incredible secrets embedded within them that just need the greatest scholars and the greatest minds to decode them and to try and gain an insight into the true nature of Imam al-Hussein, which is the most elusive thing in existence. There's no way we can understand the true nature of the Imam, but there are hints, and most of them are in these ziyarat. Ashhadu annaka nurullah. I bear witness that you are the light of God. What does it mean to be the light of God Himself? Subhanallah. Ashhadu annaka nurullah alladhi lam yatfa, that has never been extinguished, wala yutfa'u abada, and will never be extinguished. Do you know what the second part of the ziyarah means? It means we stand to be challenged. You think you can extinguish the light of Hussein? Come. Let's see what you can do. Let's see what you're capable of.
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all from today's special from IRIB English Radio. We leave you in protection of Allah, the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com www.ifm.org/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.